We are live. SB Talks for Sean Will, Real Takes, Hope Fake Debates. I ain't gonna lie, Sean, I'm feeling it. It feels like a Monday, dog. It feels like a Monday, man. It's very cold out here in the Shy. It's a very cool, hold on, look at my weather. It's a very cool 23 degrees on episode 23 today. You know, if dead serious, 23 degrees, I'm not even doing it because of the episode. Like, look, it's like 23. Dead serious. It's cold out here, brother. How you doing, man?
Doing good, SB. How y'all doing? How you doing? Happy Monday to you.
Mm-hmm. Can't complain. Got a lot of things to talk about. Salute to everybody in the chat. We got Tiff in the chat, Goat, Cottage, G Money in the chat. We got a lot of things to talk about and a lot of things to discuss, Sean. I'm gonna just get right into it. Also, Tiffany, them Ravens ain't looking down hot, Tiff. Them Ravens ain't, man. Reality setting in. I don't know, Tiff. I don't know, but let's go. We is going to start all the way to San Fran. 49ers place Christian McCaffrey, CMC, on the IR with a potential season injury, PCL injury. Honestly, Sean, this is just the story of this 49ers season. A bunch of injuries, bunch of other type of nonsense going on the same, but that's a different story for a different day. They've been 1-3 since whatever nonsense happened with that picture. But that's a different story for a different day. But honestly, though, Sean, like all jokes aside, this is the story of the team this year. Injuries, honestly, just injuries. So, and I remember, like, before this season start, it was Deebo Samuels talking about, like, we've been so close to getting the championship, when we going to try to get it done? But people don't realize, like, you being close for that many years, the window going to close at some point, especially now Brock Purdy going to get paid. CMC going to still be there for a while. But I honestly, truly believe that I think the window has closed for the 49ers or this current constructed version of the 49ers. I think this is it. But what do you think about the injury of CMC and am I wrong for thinking that way though?
No, SB, not at all. I think there's a reality that the 49ers are going to have to live with, and first and foremost, is that they're here to pay their quarterback after this season a lot of money. They've had him on a bargain deal for basically 3 years, and now that he's in the last year, coming up on the last year of his rookie deal, it's time for him to get paid. Mm-hmm. And the current quarterback contract market says that Dak Prescott's contract is the standard. Whether he hits exactly that or exceeds that or comes in just under that, that's likely where it's going to be. How the Niners structure that deal will all depend on, you know, again, how John Lynch in the front office and Jed York and the ownership group decide they want to write, how big a check they want to write up front to keep the cap hit minimal or as minimal as possible. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a big contract. Let's not get it twisted. And again, you're probably talking just spitting ball numbers, probably 5 years, $300 million.
Oh, wait. What's Brock Purdy stats for the season right now? Let's see. Brock Purdy right now didn't really have a good game last night against Bills. He got a 65% completion rate, 2,700 yards, 13 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Right.
And the problem is, and this is what we were just talking about with the last stuff going with Saquon and the Giants are regretting it. I'm not hating on Brock Purdy when I say this, because people take it as hate. But we can all agree that Brock Purdy is going to get paid $300 million because of the position he played, not for the amount of work that he put in on the field saying that, hey, he's a $300 million quarterback. And I do think the NFL needs to have something change about paying players just off of position. The quarterback, bad enough with the MVP award, there's I might as well just call it the quarterback award. I think quarterbacks get a little too much favoritism when it comes to the league, and I understand that your quarterback is the face of your franchise, but don't try to make it seem like because we've got Patrick Mahomes and a Tom Brady and a Peyton Manning that you always need those guys to win championships. We have seen game managers win championships when you actually build a great team around that. Okay, all right, quarterback. We've seen the Eagles win with their backup quarterback. We've seen it happen because everything else was good around that team. So once you only should overpay for a quarterback if he's like a game changer on his own. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, the second half of Tom Brady's career. It's things like that. And this is going to destroy their team because I don't think Brock Purdy is bad. I just don't think he's a 2300 million dollar quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to be the question is going to be whether or not he can become a force multiplier later in his career. I don't think he's that guy. I think he's a guy that, again, to your point, SB, if you put everything around him and you ask him to go out and do his job and execute, he can execute. But if you're asking him to somehow raise the level of the guys around him, he's not that. He's more like another quarterback we're going to be talking about here in a moment who happens to be playing for the Atlanta Falcons right now. That, to me, is really what his ceiling is. You can win some games with him, but you're not going to win a lot of games because of him. And I think that's the difference. You know, there's only – but also let's think about it, SB. There's only one Patrick Mahomes. There's only one Lamar Jackson. There's only one Josh Allen. After that, there's not a lot of guys we're talking about where you say we win games because of that guy. And consistently win games because of that guy. There's some younger guys that you think, okay, we'll probably ascend into that threshold. But there's just not a lot of guys. And also, the other part is where I think there were some Niners fans out there who weren't being overly realistic. When you lose in the Super Bowl, you rarely get back to the Super Bowl. And it's usually
this is the second time at like 5-6 years, they made it twice, right?
Right. They made it with Jimmy Garoppolo against the Chiefs. And then they made it again with Brock Purdy against the Chiefs last year. But the Super Bowl loser rarely gets back to the Super Bowl. It's often hard for the Super Bowl loser to even win a playoff game. So that's generally what happens. But also you got to think about that they have generally been in the NFC Championship game or Super Bowl roughly basically in the last 4 years, three times. So there's that part of it too. And I think they weren't being overly realistic about attrition. This is what happens when your team plays a lot of football games deep into the season, deep playoff runs, the attrition catches up. And that is the nature of the game. And is why you have to almost refresh your roster, you know, constantly. We're seeing it with the Super Bowl champs, even the attrition in some ways might have caught up. So, you know, I just think that's part of it. But, you know, they haven't really had McCaffrey much of the season anyway. I know people are making a big deal about it. They really haven't had him this season anyway.
You could tell, though, the team looked totally different without him, too.
Right. Well, in terms of their ability to run the football, I don't think they look differently. I think where he is unique is that his ability to move around and be in different positions and different formations makes them – that's what makes part of what makes that offense very, very unique, right? You can line him up outside a receiver. He's a threat out there. You couldn't necessarily do that with Jordan Mason, who is a really good running back, but he's not a guy you're going to say, hey, we need you to, you know, line up outside and run a 30-yard, you know, go route. That's not who he is. And they had to put him on IR as well. So, you know, this is just the attrition catching up, you know, and they're going to probably have to refresh that roster. I don't know if Deebo Samuel will be back next year just because the numbers may not say he'll be back. But, you know, this is the part of the NFL, and, you know, it's injuries happen. Guys get hurt every week. We see it. But to me, this is just part of the business and part of the game.
And it also it sucks, too, in the draft because, like, since you've been winning so much, you don't get at the top of the draft. Imagine with football, it's a better chance to widespread because there's so many teams and so many rounds. You're going to get some talent here and there, but you ain't getting, like, at the top of the draft talent. So it's hard. It's hard to keep up, and it's also hard to pay everybody. That's the biggest problem with football. So, Sean, you know, after the last bad game, the Bears finally decided to fire Matt Eberflus. After he decided to take a timeout with 30 seconds left with terrible game management, by the way. Now it begs the question because we had Ryan Poles, the Bears CO. Obviously, we got the interim coach, Thomas Brown. everybody talking to the press interview, but now it raised the question of who should be the Bears' next head coach. Should they go for offensive guy, defensive guy? There's a lot of good names out there, but if you had to pick or who you think will take the team up to the next level, where they need to go, who would you be?
So, SB, let me preface this by saying I don't think you need an offensive or a defensive head coach. You need a leader of men and a culture builder. We see young quarterbacks having success with coaches from different sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Houston, DeMeco Ryans, defensive guy. They're having success. Dan Quinn, defensive guy. Jaden Daniels, they're having success. So it's not a matter of what side of the ball. I don't care what side of the ball they come from. Do they know football? And are they leaders of men? And is this a potential long-term solution to your head coaching problem? So I tend to – that's pretty much my thing. Find a – I'm going to say this not because I'm going to be ageist. Find a younger guy who is a leader of men, who's a culture builder, who will come in and build – a culture and a staff that will help your players develop. And it's not just about Caleb Williams. We understand the quarterback and the importance of that position. Nobody's disputing that. But I don't care about if this person is an offensive or defensive person. Are they leaders? Can they build cultures? That's what matters to me most. Mike Tomlin just had his 500th consecutive non-losing season in Pittsburgh.
Hey, he ain't going to lose. He's not going to have a losing season, man. Any means necessary, dog.
You know, I mean, it's, so I don't care about offensive or defensive. What does Pittsburgh do? They generally, Pittsburgh, in their history, SB has always gone for a defensive guy traditionally, but they've always gone with younger. And they've always gone with a dynamic personality, a dynamic leader. Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin. Not all exactly the same, but in their own way brought a dynamism to that team and that position, that organization. So that's what I'd be looking for. So we know the obvious names, Ben Johnson, obviously, because a lot of people think he's the next great head coach, and because of what he's done with Detroit's offense, and there'll be some other names out there. But the name for me and the person I'd be looking at is Marcus Freeman.
From Notre Dame.
Head coach of Notre Dame, who was actually drafted by the Bears.
So I can see the double back on that, too. I can see that happening.
Right. So drafted by the Bears, he didn't play in a regular season game. He ended up having to walk away from football after a year. But he's a Midwest guy. He's a young guy. We've seen the success he's had at Notre Dame. He's a dynamic young coach. He could be a DeMeco Ryans type. That's what you want. Get a guy.
Do you think he can transition? Because, a lot of sometimes it's hard for some guys to transition to the league because it's different how you coach a team in college versus the league. We've seen coaches that do bad. We've heard about them too.
The reason why I believe he could do it is because he was actually a part of the league. Right. So it's not like he's never been a part of the league. He's actually been a part of the league. So my belief is because of that and because, again, he's a younger guy. He's not coming in saying I got all the answers and things like that. He's a guy that's going to, really, I think, connect with players on that team. And he's going to build a staff. He would build a staff that would have a great deal of success. And also, it's not just going to be a staff of guys who he's coached with. He's going to go out. He's going to find veteran guys. He's going to find guys who've been in the NFL for a while. That's what you do. When you think about the head coach, it's not X's and O's often. It's Jimmy's and Joe's. And the Jimmy's and Joe's aren't just the players. The Jimmy's and Joe's and Jane's are your coaching staff. Can you build a dynamic coaching staff? And that's where I think he would be just an absolute fit for the Chicago Bears. Now, again, he's not someone who's going to be high on the list because he's not currently in the NFL. But just looking at his track record, his age, and again, if you've ever listened to him talk and the way he, gets to players, I think he would definitely translate to the NFL. And again, we've seen other guys do it. It's just right time, right situation. And I think the Bears would be the right situation for him.
Yeah, and I can see how, because I'm sure looking up his history. I know the Notre Dame went 11-1 on 10. They lost to was Northern Illinois, which was that was a crazy game. Shout out to the Northern Illinois coach to get that dub. But yeah, I think also you could go with the young face look, and he already got a connection to the franchise. So he obviously had passion to co-play for the coach of Bears because he played for the Bears. So I could definitely see that. For me though, if he could be the guy, I just think your guy, and I know we were talking about the quarterback position being like over, you know what I'm saying, overanalyzed or overpopularized or overbabied, I should say, because this is what they do with these quarterbacks nowadays. But when I'm looking at Caleb Williams and how the Bears been losing, like, bro, Sean, he hasn't thrown an interception since he played the Jaguars on October. So he went one, you know, it's on the offensive bat, whatever, but he didn't throw no pick. So he went 6 weeks straight without no interceptions.
Right.
Once the new offensive coordinator took over, the offense is getting better. But the problem is, for my thing, that the main point I need this head coach to be able to do, or at least get somebody on their staff, make it a priority to develop Caleb Williams, because Chicago, how can I say this nicely? Chicago, when it comes to quarterbacks, Chicago has this stench on them, right? When they can't develop no quarterback, it's not a good place for be a quarterback. That's why they remember when Caleb was coming to the draft, when it was rumored that he didn't want to come to Chicago, part of the reason why he didn't want to come to Chicago because of the Bears' track record when it comes to quarterback. So I think at the point in time when his franchise is at right now, they can't afford to mess this up. It's already started looking bad when Jaden Daniels took right off out the gate. Now Bo Nix looking good. And then now actually Caleb showing potential. So I just think, yes, I want a coach to come in that can establish culture. But if I'm the Bears front office, I feel like if establishing a culture, one, developing Caleb to what we see he can be, because Caleb Williams shows the potential. Like that second half against the Lions, it was like night and day different. This was like, oh, this is why this guy went number one. That developing Caleb Williams had to be at the top of the board if I'm bringing this coach in. That's it for me. Now, it could go any direction. Like you said, it could go to Ben Johnson. It could go Marcus Freeman. You could bring back Lovie Smith, all of our care. But if those two ain't the main type of priorities that's on that coach list, because you got the talent. And I think the Bears CEO said this is like the most coveted job to get as a coach. I mean, compared to the other teams that's available, because it's the most talent. So you're coming into a team where you could just change it like that. Now, it could be the most coveted job. But we have to acknowledge the fact that the NFC North has just established itself as the dominant division, because you got teams like the Lions, because the Lions are arguably the best team in football. You got a team like the Vikings, who arguably got one of the best defenses in football. You got a team like the Packers, where they just all-around good team. Obviously, Jordan Love is still developing here and there, getting better. But nobody wants to come play in Lambeau. Lambeau was already hard to play in general. Now they're good, so it's like, you're going to have four teams next season, even though I know the schedule going to get tougher for the other three teams because of the way you won. You know, that's how NFL work. The better you win, the harder your schedule will be the next season. And now you coming in as a coach where you finna finish last in your division. So whatever you finish last, it's a better chance you get a favorable schedule. So now you're coming into a favorable schedule with a favorable offense. With all you got to do is fix the line. You can add a couple things on the defense, especially improve that rushing game, rushing the quarterback. You got to take this is a golden opportunity. But also with that golden opportunity is your golden goose, Caleb Williams. And you got to make sure they get it right. That's just me. They have to get it right.
No, they absolutely have to get it right, SB. But I think, again, everybody's going to say Ben Johnson. I think they have to live in a certain reality, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think Ben Johnson is going to be the easiest get. Right. Mm-hmm. Now that they can't do it, it's not going to be the easiest get, because again, he's coming in with a lot of cachet. Is he going to come in and say, hey, you know, and again, they've already said they're going to keep Ryan Poles. We know Kevin Warren's the chief operating officer. He's basically running the show. you know, is he going to come in and is he going to want the front office structured very similar to how Detroit's structured? You know, what's, you know, all those things. I think what they really want is someone who's going to come in, is going to has shown the ability as a head coach to take talent and make the most of that talent. And again, you just looked at Marcus Freeman's record at Notre Dame. They've been consistently good. He is, again, someone that guys are going to buy into. And again, I use D'Amico Ryans as kind of, you know, the litmus. When the Texans got D'Amico Ryans, I said, they got the next Mike Tomlin. Marcus Freeman, I think, is in that same vein. Certainly, again, coming from a different space, but already has a connection to the organization, is a Midwest guy. I just think, you know, he would be an absolute slam, you know, if the Bears are able to do it. But, of course, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think he right now, he got a 30-9 record as a coach in general. 2-1 on the bowl games. I guess he was the defensive coordinator for Notre Dame. Then he got upgraded to the head coach in 1 year.
Yes.
I mean, I know a lot of people ask, like, would you take the opportunity to leave? I ain't going to hold it. This chance to go to the Bears in the league, you take that chance.
Well, yeah, and again, I think it's there's been some talk about if the NFL can't call and would he listen, you know. And again, I think he's one of those few guys who's in at the college level, but because he's been previously in the NFL as a player, it wouldn't shock me if he were able to make that transition. Again, we say the same thing about Deion Sanders. So you know, and again, albeit Deion had a long career, Marcus Freeman didn't, but it's a coach, I think a great coach can coach well at any level when they understand the level and they understand the, you know, the situation that they're in. I think he would certainly be one of those people.
Now, we got to go, because obviously we had some games that happened Sunday, but we have to go to this Texas versus Jaguar game. Texas linebacker AZ Alshire apologized for the hit on Trevor Lawrence. So, if you see the hit, he pretty much was head got concussed. Trevor Lawrence goes for the slide. When I first seen it, I reacted like, oh, my God. And then, like, re-looking at it, I don't think he did it on purpose. He obviously issued an apology. But it's like, it's hard to slow yourself down. Imagine, this dude is 6'1", 227 pounds. And he running full speed to probably try to make a tackle. They end up clipping Trevor Lawrence in the head, slightly knocked him out for a while. But what was your reaction to the hit in general when you first seen it, and how you feel about him dropping an apology?
So when I first saw it, SB, I like most people, I was like, "Wow, that's pretty, you know, pretty
nasty." I'm looking at it now. I'm like, "Yeah, nasty. I'm looking at
it now." But then watching the replays and watching it from different angles, I think there are two things we have to talk about. Number one, I understand the protection of quarterbacks, right? But here's the thing. When a quarterback slides, or a quarterback makes a decision to slide, to give themselves up, that is inevitably telling the defender, please don't hit me. It's not that you slide, it's when you slide. I think the quarterback has a responsibility, if they know defenders are coming at them, to get down earlier than later. Right. To me, that was the issue there. Now, because the hit ended up around the neck and face mask area, when you see where his hands actually ended up on his chest. It was his forearm that got up in the face mask and the neck area. That's where it looked a lot worse. And obviously the outcome of Trevor Lawrence not getting up immediately
made it worse.
Made it look a lot worse. But I think it's important to set a precedent. And again, I think this is something that competition committee is going to have to look at, and the rules committee is going to have to look at in the offseason, in terms of quarterbacks have to give themselves up in a certain time, and you have to give defenders at least the opportunity to slow down and to stop when they're coming, like you said, SB, when you're coming at somebody full speed. I don't know if Trevor Lawrence necessarily did that on that play. And again, I'm not obviously Trevor Lawrence getting a concussion, likely going to miss a game or two is not a good thing. But I think the good that can come out of this is there needs to be a re-review of, again, imploring quarterbacks to give themselves up earlier than later so they don't have to take these kind of hits. And if they do give themselves up early enough and a guy takes three or four steps and then lays them out, then that's where
– That's a problem.
But to me, watching the different replay from the different angles, it didn't seem like Alshire had enough room and enough time to truly slow himself up. And again, we understand why the melee happens. Evan Engram comes to the defense of his quarterback. You know,
as he should.
That's the franchise. That's one of the reasons why a lot of you guys cash checks. So I get that. And I'm never, ever, ever going to tell a guy, don't come to the defense of your teammate. But I think it's incumbent upon quarterbacks. The slide is for you, but it's as much to protect the defender as well. And so I think you got to give yourself up earlier if you know, defenders are flying, gearing to fly at you.
Now, I think the NFL, has they done a good job of protecting quarterbacks? Yes, I think they overprotect quarterbacks. But I just don't like the way they don't protect anybody else. They don't protect offensive linemen from getting the knees taken out. Look how long it probably took for them to even, like, look into that. You got defenders, like you said, with the late hit. Because, like you said, if the guy don't give himself up, what I'm supposed to play till the ball is dead. Now, remember it was a play in college, but they changed the rule once he got away with that one play. Remember that one? It was a Kenny. I believe it was Kenny Pickett, actually, in college.
It was Kenny Pickett.
He faked the slide and then kept going. But the guys stopped because they didn't want to hit him when he slid. And what did he do? Fake the slide and went all the way to the house. So it's harder for guys to, like, hey, I can't necessarily stop playing until the ball game is over. Because now if Trevor Lawrence would have – I don't doubt he would have faked the slide. But, like you said, what if he could have faked like he was sliding and took off? Now I'm stopping as a defender. Now they looking at me – the coach looking at me crazy. Like, I didn't let him run for, like, 15 more yards.
Right.
I just think, like you said, they should establish, like, if you go to the slide – you better slide early enough, or the consequences that you're going to get hit if you don't slide early enough. Like you said, you got to give the defender at least two or three steps a chance to stop at all.
Yeah.
And like you said, you got to know when to give yourself up, because I ain't going to say Trevor Lawrence tried to force the first, but he tried to get it closer to that first down mark as he did. He probably should have gave himself up like a second or two before that. But obviously he's trying to play to win and make a play. And same thing for Alshire. He tried to make a play. He ended up, like you said, clipping Trevor Lawrence. It does look bad. And also the defenders did a great job of protecting their teammate. You protect your quarterback, as always. But I agree with you that NFL is going to have to look at this and make some rule changes, because it's going to be bad. But also, you got to start protecting other players too. You got to protect the defenders, because a lot of defenders already complain it's hard enough for them to play defense now because they worried about getting fined because they might hurt somebody. But it's like you darn near hurting them, because now they can't even really play properly because with the caution in their mind. So we do it. I hope they look into it. And prayers to Trevor Lawrence. I believe that he's all good. Like you said, he might miss a game because of concussion protocol. Now, Sean, we got to talk about – I know it's a little too early to be talking about off-season stuff, but I believe that this has become a conversation that needs to be thought about now. And I understand how Mike Tomlin runs the Steelers organization and the Steelers franchise. It will be handled in good hands. The Steelers are 9-3, shocking everybody. Right now, they're leading a division, yes, over the Ravens, yes, over the Bengals, and yes, over the Browns. The Steelers is the number one team in the AFC North. Do you keep Russell Wilson, who's been having an outstanding season, or do you go with Justin Fields? Both will be free agents. Who you taking, Sean? Can't bring them both back. It wouldn't make no sense.
So, SB, I think this my answer is going to be cursory, and my answer is dependent on what the Steelers do in the playoffs. Because if the Steelers are one and done in the playoffs, I don't think you bring either of them back.
Okay.
Because you didn't bring Russell Wilson in for Mike Tomlin to have yet another winning season. You brought Russell Wilson in because you haven't won a playoff game in 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's all incumbent on what do the Steelers do in the playoffs. If the Steelers win a playoff game and advance in the playoffs,
just I think one, right? Playing,
yeah, just one. You got to win at least one playoff game. Because, again, obviously we talk about the playoffs. We look at the seeding, Kansas City, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, I believe, is the third seed right now.
Yes, third seed.
So you'll host one playoff home playoff game. You go on the road. If you lose a road playoff game in Kansas City or in Buffalo, nobody's going to kill you over that, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can't do is go to the playoffs and lose the first game. So I think if you win a playoff game with Russell Wilson, you bring Russell Wilson back. But it's not on a long-term deal. I'm talking like a two-year deal. And again, you still have to be thinking about your quarterback of the future, because Russell Wilson is not getting any younger. So that is my answer. You bring Russell Wilson back if you win a playoff game, if you advance in the playoff. If you do not, you're back to square one.
If it, I think even for my answer, I think it's Russell Wilson regardless. And I'm going to tell you the reason why I'm going with Russ. First of all, if the playoff was to start today, the Steelers are the number three seed. The number six seed right now is the Baltimore Ravens. And it's still a show that they could possibly get it done and beat the Ravens. But I think it's going to be a little different once that playoff, where the playoffs come in. That's going to be a tough one. But honestly, if you do beat a division rival in the first round, that hits a little bit harder than just winning a playoff game, because you beat a division rival to go to the next round and get a playoff game. But the reason why I'm taking Russell Wilson is, one, I think he did an outstanding job. It shows that he is better fit for the quarterback position for this team at this moment. But also, even if you lose out and go get another young guy, so it's no point in bringing back Justin Fields. At least Russell Wilson, you could get Russell Wilson, and then you can draft that young quarterback, and you could still sit him that year. Because if you get Justin Fields, you say Justin Fields is your quarterback for the future. Justin Fields young. Justin Fields trying to be the starting guy and keep a job. Russell Wilson, no, he's probably getting close to the tail end. Maybe he got like four more years. So you can easily sign Russell Wilson back, like you said, to a two-year deal, draft your quarterback, let Russell Wilson play this year, and if he have a good year, let him play the whole year out. If they have an opposite year bad, well, week 11, week 13, 14, put the other quarterback in, let him start, and let him play. So I'm going Russ.
So let me say this also, too. I think the other caveat to this story, SB, to your question, SB, is what happens with Arthur Smith. Because Arthur Smith is going to be likely a candidate for some head coaching jobs, particularly the University of North Carolina, where he went. So if Arthur Smith leaves and you have to go out and bring in a new offensive coordinator, I think it's going to be a matter of, again, are you bringing an offensive coordinator who runs a very similar system to Arthur Smith? Or are you bringing in someone who runs a very different system? And whether or not Russ or Justin, for that matter, is right for that particular system? Or do they – because, again, I think that's going to be the other side of this question. So I'm going to say Russ, if they win a playoff game and if they lose Arthur Smith, that they have to bring someone in who's going to be willing to work with Russ to build – to either you continue to use the same system or to build a system around the skill set of Russell Wilson and where he is at this juncture. But I don't think it's necessarily a given that because you're 9-3 and you're the third seed that Russell Wilson is your quarterback in 2025. I think it's all dependent upon the playoffs.
Yeah, we got to see how it goes. Right now, I'm not – even though the Steelers beat the Ravens earlier this year, so they know they can do it, but I wouldn't want to play the Ravens in the first round. I wouldn't want to play the Ravens in the first, because the last time they played the Ravens, because they play them again. So yes, you might get a playoff preview again. But they won. It was early in the season. It was early in the season, and the Ravens was still trying to figure it out. Like, even though I feel like the Ravens not living up to expectations of what we thought, but I still would want to play them in the first round. I'm not trying to play the Ravens in the first round. But yeah, if the playoffs was to start today, right now the Chiefs and the Bills clinch their playoff spot. Chiefs with the number one seed so far, Bills with the number two, Steelers at the three seed, Texans four, my Chargers at five, Ravens at 6, Broncos at 7. I think the AFC, that's what's going to be our 7 teams. I don't really see the Colts, even though Anthony Richardson has been much better since he came back from being benched. I don't see the Dolphins making a late push. I think those are 7 teams.
Yeah,
that's going to be in the plus AFC.
I think the Colts is the one team I'm watching. I think the Colts is the one team I'm watching. I think they can go on a late run. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what
happens. The NFC, that's what I'm like. The NFC is a little different, though. The NFC is a little different. But it's still like, I still think the 17s, the Commanders might make the playoffs. It's crazy. But also, Sean, even though I brought up a team that clinched their spot, they're the number one seed. I never in my days would you have to say, I'm truly concerned for this team. And they're the number one seed. And also, Sean, they 11-1. They got the best record in the league. Well, tied with the Detroit Lions at 11-1. Hmm. But I'm truly concerned about the Kansas City Chiefs. Is it time to hit the panic button? Are you actually concerned and worry about the Kansas City Chiefs? Because imagine, the Kansas City Chiefs don't play at the point of time this franchise is right now. They're not playing to get in the playoff deep. They're playing for a Super Bowl. They're trying to three-peat. And I'm truly concerned about the three-peat. Sean, every game they done played besides the 49ers on October 20th, the Saints on October 7th,
yes.
And where's the other game where I'm looking? Because I know they lost to the Bills. I'm going to use the Bills because it's double digits. Every other game they won, it was single digits or one possession away win. And they won either by the skin of their teeth or I don't know how it, like, it's block kicks, overtime, and you just gave Patrick Mahomes one more last chance when you supposed to close the door. The only team that handled the Chiefs right was the Buffalo Bills, because you know you cannot, you don't need to give them any bit of hope. You come to play Kansas City and you come in, you shut them down and you close that door and go home. Don't play around, don't play with your food. You got to get them up out of there early and finish them. But I'm getting the cause of concern because, one, why is every game close? They already brought that up a bit that they want to at least have at least one blowout game. Patrick Mahomes had to have every game close. The tackles are god awful. The tackles are awful. The cornerback, the defense is starting to get so iffy now, especially with the secondary. And also, I'm not even mad at the defense because the defense has been solid. Because first of all, for them to keep the scores low too, because a lot of people are trying to get on Kansas City defense. At the end of the day, the offense has to do something. They giving y'all opportunities, and we could go to the tackle saying that's the main problem, whatever it is, but. In terms of the Kansas City Chiefs three-peating, I'm ready to hit the panic button, and I'm actually worried about them.
So I'm going to say this, SB. Obviously, they got a big game this week on Sunday Night Football at home against your Chargers.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get that done.
We'll see.
We're going to get that done.
We'll see. No, I think two things. Number one, I am not. What worries me more about the Chiefs is after this Chargers game, they play 3 games in 10 days.
Ooh, wait.
That concerns me a lot more than how they're playing right now. Can they get through that rough part of their schedule? And again, you know, they're going to it'd be at Cleveland, and they would have Houston at home on the 21st of December, and then they go to Pittsburgh on Christmas Day.
Actually, hold on, wait, not to cut you off. I remember that Chris Jones did have something about them saying why their bye week was so early. But this got to be an outrage because I had to go look into it too. Yeah. There's no way. Forget the 10 days part. They play on the 21st. They have to come back 4 days later to play on 25th. That's wild.
Yeah.
You're not giving them no favors with that. I mean, I don't like that.
It's basically what the NFL is basically going to assert is you're playing on Saturday. And then you're playing on Wednesday. It'd be like if you were playing on Sunday and playing on Thursday. So we don't want to hear it. That's basically what they're going to say. Because Detroit's had to do it. Dallas has had to do it. Chicago's had to do it. Green Bay's had to do it. You know, there's a team that played on Thanksgiving had to do it. So they're not going to hear any complaints. How they get through that stretch, I think, will be very telling. But I'm a firm believer to you have to knock the champ out.
You gotta knock
and
him out.
Yep. They are the two-time defending champs. Obviously, this season has not looked as dominant as the previous seasons, but they always find, they figure out, they find a way. And with the exception of the Buffalo game, they find a way. I know it's not pretty. I know there's got to be some level of frustration with it, but they're also playing an incredibly tough schedule.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting everybody's best shot because they are the champs, mm-hmm. you know, so the two-time defending champs. So am I worried about Kansas City? Worry is relative. I think what I'm going to look for is that 10-day stretch we just talked about where they got three games in 10 days. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm curious to see, how they're going to manage that, how they're going to get through that, because this is not an easy, you know, easy schedule at all.
Also, Sean, I'm sitting here looking at it. I haven't really paid attention to it like that, but now I'm looking at it because we're talking about it. And remember, we were talking about this in the beginning of the year when they said they was going to force NFL games on Christmas.
Yes.
The NFL is so petty. They're so petty because I had to realize I'm thinking Christmas Thursday. Christmas on Wednesday.
Right.
They petty. They could have took the next day, Thursday, call it a Christmas game. They so petty. And it's at 12 o'clock. So I want to see how this rating battle going to go.
Right. And they got two games that day. So
who the second game on Christmas?
It's Ravens and Texans.
They so petty. The NFL, it's a business, though. It's a business. It's this way I come in. But the NFL petty. Y'all forced the Wednesday game just to take NBA Christmas slot.
Yeah, and also, obviously, for the Chiefs, that number one seed is super important to them, I believe, because mm-hmm. we generally know when they're the home, when they have home field advantage in the playoffs, they're almost unbeatable. So, you know, I think that's how that number one seed is, I think, super
they
important. Knowing that Buffalo is right there, and while they could win in Buffalo, they did win in Buffalo in the playoffs previously. I don't think they necessarily want to go to Buffalo again to try to win a playoff game. So, I just think, this 10-day stretch is going to be super, super important to them between the 15th and Christmas. That's what I'm looking for them.
I can honestly believe that because I know they got like the other game too. If they secure the number one seed during that Christmas game, I expect to see the backups majority of that second game, or at least like the second half, just to get a boy some rest.
Yeah, you know, if they get that number one seed, they're not gonna because again they'll have a bye week, which will help mm-hmm. some, but obviously you want to avoid any potential injuries in that last game.
Yeah. Also, Sean, we got to talk about how my Chargers defense made Captain Kirk look like regular Kirk. I ain't gonna disrespect her like dog. He can't be Captain Kirk. Kirk Cousins threw four interceptions. And, you know, when you draft a quarterback in the first round that's behind you and your team ain't looking as good as you thought it was going to be this year, the Falcons don't look bad. They have their ups and downs with some days. I'd be like, man, the Falcons look like a nice team. We want to play the Falcons. Then sometimes I'd be like, man, I don't know what this team is. This team not ready yet. But it begs the question, though, is it Penix time? Raheem Morris already came out and said he will not bench Kirk Cousins despite the four interceptions. And Sean, you already alluded to earlier before she was talking. At least like two or three interceptions was very terrible. Terrible pass, terrible reads by Kirk Cousins. Is it Michael Penix time, Sean? Is it time to hit the Michael Penix button?
And the Falcons are
6-6 right now.
You're 6-6. They're still leading the NFC South because they hold, even though Tampa has the same record, they hold a tiebreaker over Tampa. They had a better divisional record over Tampa as well. Mm-hmm. So Falcons still hold the keys to their destiny, so to speak. You're not going to turn over to a rookie quarterback with five games left in the season, and you still very much control your fate in terms of your playoffs.
This division trash. I ain't gonna, NFC yeah. South is atrocious.
Yeah, it's not a very good division right now. I'll just say that. But I will say, given that they have the tiebreaker over Tampa,
mm-hmm.
all they have to do is find a way to, finish at least tied with Tampa or one game ahead of Tampa. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, you know, Carolina and the Saints probably will not factor in to who wins the division in terms of them winning the division. I think they'll factor in terms of they can make life very tough for one of those teams, particularly Carolina, who's playing really well right now, despite the record.
Shout out Bryce.
Yeah, but that said, no, you don't. There's no reason to discuss Penix right now. I think where it will become a discussion, SB, is in the offseason. You know, do you want to go ahead and pivot to Penix, and do you want to talk to Kirk Cousins about where he may want to go? Because Kirk Cousins has a full no trade clause in his contract. When they drafted Penix, I think the plan was 2 years, because they have an out after 2 years in Kirk Cousins' contract. It's a cap hit, but when you already have your quarterback on the roster, you're not going to go crazy over a cap hit like that. So that's what they're going to have to, I think, have a discussion about, depending on whether or not they make the playoffs, one, and two, how well they do in the playoffs. Do they go with another year of Kirk, or do they say, hey, we're going to go ahead and pivot to the young fella? But benching Kirk Cousins right now, you're not going to do that, and you're not going to throw Penix out there knowing you're going to Minnesota this week and really a must-win game in Minnesota against Brian Flores and that defense. You're not doing that to him.
Yeah, we got Kirk Cousins is going back to Minnesota, but also I think this is a point of emphasis of the game against the Minnesota Vikings, because currently the Atlanta Falcons are on a three-game losing streak.
Yes.
And it, like you said, how the division was set up, it's still the Falcons division to lose. I think they just ended their season off really bad. And they kind of got at least like three favorable games coming up. Not the Vikings. They got the Raiders, the Giants. The Commanders going to be tough with the Panthers.
Right.
So at least if you get those three games that you're supposed to win against the Raiders, the Giants, and the Panthers, because we already know the Raiders ain't trying to win no more. The Giants definitely not trying to win no more games. So you got to go in and get the job done. The Panthers have been playing better. So they want to – I think the Panthers will try to win the game because they want to end the season on a high note for Bryce Young to bring him in some confidence going into next season. But, no, you got to get those games done. Yeah. Also, Sean, tonight, getting ready to start in a second, Browns versus Broncos preview. But I think I'm going to hold off on this one, Sean. I'm going to hold off on this because we got to talk about this in the picks of the week recap. So it's – Santa, let's go here. I had an actual NBA story. Paul Pierce is at it again in the media. I'm gonna just play the video. And let you hear yourself,
Paul. This team's better than yours.
We knew how to break teams mentally. So you know what we lacked in skill versus them, we had with will. So,
but you're saying that you guys are tougher, and the way that you would win is not being more skilled, by breaking the will of players who are not as tough as you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to turn it into a bar fight. This ain't going to be no finesse dance on the ring. This is going to be body blow, body blow.
Right. So you're going to break Al Horford's will, huh?
I think KG has a good reputation of doing things like that. I've known to break a few wills, you know, sent some of them from Cleveland to Miami.
Oh, I love the Miami shred at the end. For you guys who got watching the video and listening, that was Paul Pierce making a debate that the 2008 championship Celtics will beat the current 2024 Celtics, because he admitted that they was more skilled. They're more skilled than them. But he said they'll just punk them and their hardened will is better. First thing first, just before we get into this, the 08 Celtics, it got to be the most milk. You ever see like the cow that's real skinny and you're still going back to milk that cow? That's the 08 Celtics. Look, dog, y'all got that one. Y'all ain't got to keep milking this. Y'all milking this more than GTA 5, dog. Come on, man. Every second, yeah, with the championship Celtics. Yeah, y'all stuck off that one. Because people don't want to admit this, and I think it was fun watching that Celtics team. But the big three Celtics was a failure. It was a failure run. They didn't bring that big three together just for one ring. Y'all was supposed to win more than one, but injuries happened. We don't understand what happened. And also the crazy stray of LeBron and them, somebody broke LeBron's will in Cleveland. Y'all just got to keep bringing that up. But I think Paul Pierce, it could be a battle. I can't 100% truly say who would win, because they got to health wise. And they were like, how he really played, because their young Celtics team is stacked from top. They like 10 deep, and they got defenders that can guard. also that Boston Celtics team was rough and tough. It was like KG, still nice. Rondo, nice. Paul Pierce in a clutch. He could knock it down. Ray Allen. You already know Ray Allen's a sniper with it. You got other guys. I don't know if this is with the Tony Allen. You know, got the Tony Allens, Leon Poles off the bench, the 80 houses. So it'll be a good battle. I don't truly know who will win. I probably would take I don't know. I couldn't tell you who will win, honestly. I had to do a little more research and look into it in depth. But I can't give you an answer on that, Sean. But all thing I wanted to do for the 08 Celtics was stop milking this championship. Like, bro, they milking this championship crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, sometimes SB, it sucks when you only win one because that's all you have to talk about. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't hear teams that won multiple championships say, hey, you know what, my team, you know, my 08 team or my 16 team or whatever would definitely beat this current. Like, why are we looking at this current Cavs team and we're saying, hey, how would they stack up against the 2016 Cavs? No, because nobody cares. Like, it's just stupid. Like, no, what, like, what's the value in this? Like, there's just
nothing,
you know. But this is also the same guy who said he had a better career than Dwayne Wade.
This was all cap,
you know. I mean, it was just it. Some people don't need a mic, right? And some people don't need a mic. Like, this is the equivalent of American Idol putting bad singers on the first show just because it would make the audience laugh or it made the audience cringe. Paul Pierce is doing, it's like, this is like I tell you that's what, crazy, Paul, yeah. I tell you what you do. Get the OA Celtics together. Hey, say, hey, let's all spend about a month getting in shape and let's go to a practice with the 2024 Celtics and let's run them in practice and see how we do.
How they gonna get the doors blown off of them?
Right. It's gonna be worse than Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. So, like if it's that serious, like there's just no value in this. Like, and this current Celtics generation has a chance to do something that they couldn't do. This team has a great shot to win again.
Wish they can still do.
Right, because their best players are all in their mid-20s.
And under contract, too.
And under contract. So as long as they're healthy, they got a good chance. So just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
And honestly, even though the Celtics are the number 2 seed, I still think they're the best team in the East. Talent wise, I would say they're the best team
in the East. And again, I think, you know, Cleveland will make it interesting. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with the Knicks, obviously. Orlando, you know, depending on what happens with them when they get Paolo back, they're playing pretty well without him right now. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's still very early, right? We're just hitting to the quarter mark of the season. There's still a lot of games left to be played. But, you know, I just feel like this is. There's no point in this. That's all. There's just no point in this.
Mm-hmm. You have to agree with you on that. Sean, then we got to get, like I said, we got to talk about this Browns versus Bronco preview. But I want to recap the picks of the week because you said tonight game matter on who win. So let's go ahead and recap the picks of the week. What are we looking like?
All right.
What's the record? What's the record again? What's the record right now?
Right now it's 6-5-1. I am up.
Okay, we gotta put everything back alive. We gotta get back right.
6-5-1. I am up. Week 13, Vegas versus Kansas City. We both took Kansas City. Kansas City did win. Mm-hmm. Chargers versus the Falcons. Of course, you took your Chargers. I took the Falcons. The Chargers did win. Kirk Cousins sold me.
Yes, sir.
Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. We both took Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh obviously won that game.
Put up a 40 burger. It's crazy. Shout out Pittsburgh.
Arizona and Minnesota. We both took Minnesota. Minnesota won, although Arizona probably should have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
Colts at New England. We both took the Colts. Colts did win. Seattle at the Jets. We both took Seattle. Seattle did win.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee at Washington. You took Tennessee. I took Washington. Washington was up 28-0 in the second quarter.
Never again.
Houston at Jacksonville. We both took Houston. Houston did win. Rams at Saints. You took the Rams. I, of course, took the Saints. Rams did win.
Yes, sir.
Tampa Bay at Carolina. We both took Tampa Bay, even though Carolina did get hosed in that game. But Tampa Bay did win. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia at Baltimore. We both took Philly. Philly did win. Mm-hmm. San Francisco at Buffalo. We both took Buffalo. Buffalo beat the brakes off of them. Mm-hmm. So tonight's game does count because we both picked different teams. I took Cleveland. You took Denver. If Cleveland wins, we'll be tied this week. If Denver wins, obviously you'll win this week. So tonight's game does count.
Tonight game does count. So let's do a quick preview of tonight game, what we expected. We got Denver Broncos at Cleveland Brown in Denver. What you expected from tonight's game?
Should be an interesting matchup. I know a lot of people think this is going to be a boring game, but you got Broncos defense playing really, really well. Under Vance Joseph, the Browns over the last few weeks have kind of found a little bit of their mojo. Their passing game has taken off since Jameis Winston has come in.
Famous.
You know, can they get Chubb going tonight? I think it's going to be a major key. Jerry Jeudy, a little bit of a reunion game for Jerry Jeudy coming back to Denver. Also, Sean Payton, Jameis Winston were together with the Saints for 2 years. So, you know, we'll see. But that said, it should be a very interesting game. I think this game is going to come down to can Cleveland's defense and Myles Garrett in particular get after Bo Nix. If you can get out to Bo Nix, get him off his spots a little bit. He's been really, really comfortable recently. They're going to have to get a little too comfortable. Browns coming off a long week because they played Thursday night football their last game 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. But, again, I took the Browns and you took the Broncos.
Oh, yeah. Well, for me, definitely, I think this game definitely going to be good. Better than a lot of people think, especially right off the bat. If I get any pre-game interview with Jameis Winston or any pre-anything with Jameis Winston for the game, you sold me already on a good game already. But for me, I picked the Broncos. The Broncos are definitely hot right now. I think for Bo Nix is to, like, not get rattled by the Browns defense because definitely with Myles Garrett, they're going to come after you. Still do your same regular routine that you have been doing. And make the plays. Don't try to do too much. And I think you could win the game because it's definitely going to be hard to try not to because you do got famous Jameis over there who's bound to make a big play. He's going to get you a big play at least once or twice a game every time. So when you see somebody drop a home run shot, you want to get back on the field and do the same thing. I just think that Bo and the Broncos just need to play that record, the same thing they've just been doing so far, and then they could come up and win the game easily. But this game will be closer than a lot of people think.
Agreed.
Sean, episode 23, season 2. Who you got?
I know. Listen, it's a lot of, you know, everybody's going to go with the obvious or whatever. Mm-hmm. I want to go off the reservation a little bit. I'm going to go with Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch in Buffalo.
Marshawn Lynch. Okay. I like that. I like the Marshawn Lynch. You got a lot of ways I could go with this, obviously, just because the guy right behind me, I got to say, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. But also, I want to shout out – where should I go with this one? I should say AD because AD from Chicago, too. I'm going to go Jordan, AD, and Devin Hester.
You know what? Let me throw another one in there, too, because this guy signed probably the greatest contract in MLB history, Bobby Bonilla.
Oh, he's still getting paid to this day, ain't he?
Yes.
When is his last payment?
I want to say it's like 2035, I think. So, yeah. So, basically was he signed a contract. The Mets wanted to waive him, but they didn't have the money to pay out the remainder of his deal. So, they set it up where every July 1st, he gets a payout from the Mets. So I think at the time they owed him like $5 million, but every year he gets like, I want to say it's like $1 million, like $1.2 million on July 1st from the Mets. And this has happened ever since.
So they only have to pay him five. But yes, he ended up turning that five to what, like 20 million, 30 billion?
Yeah, something like that. Yes, it's a crazy story behind it. But yeah, basically, yeah, that's what happened.
We're going to have to do a video or research. Send me a video or something explaining it. Yeah. You got to look at it, because how you turn 5 million into 20 some million.
Yeah, without doing anything illegal. That's without doing anything illegal. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, yeah, he didn't have to go string a bell to do it. So, you know,
that's crazy. All right, guys, appreciate you guys watching. Make sure you guys like, make sure you guys share, make sure you guys subscribe. Go into it into the football. The football game is ready to come on right now. Be a show. We're going to see you guys on the next one. Peace. We are out of here.